I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. Let's get right to the gospel because we have a good clip that we want to share with you.
Love it.
And we want to give it enough time. Open up your Bibles. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And here's what it says. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two. Notice when missionaries go out, Catholics and Protestant missionaries, that's the biblical number, two by two. It says, into every town and place where he himself was to come. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers out into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Boy, oh boy, I think Archbishop Vigano, he can relate to this.
You bet.
Yeah. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and salute no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, you shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking that they provide, for what they provide. For the labor deserves his wages, and do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a house and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, well, that's the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no, two more verses, up until verse 12. Sorry about
dust.
That. Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, he wiped off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come. I tell you that it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Well, I think I forgot verse 10. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. So what's going on here? A couple things that we could point out. Jesus appoints missionaries two by two. That's a biblical pattern taken from the Old Testament, taken from Moses in the book of Numbers. Jesus calls planet Earth a harvest. What does that mean? That's a picture of God's people ready to go out and gather souls for Christ. Jesus also says in verse 4, take no purse, no bag, no sandals. In other words, Jesus is saying that the gospel's got the apostles have to travel light, unencumbered by the things of the world. Verse 7, he also says that a laborer deserves his wages. What does that mean? That the ministers of the gospel should be supported by the believing community. And this allows the ministers of the gospel to continue their apostolic work with undivided attention. And what about verse 11, wipe off against you? This is a Jewish way of saying, you know what? It's a symbolic act of judgment saying, all right, you don't want to accept the message. Guess what? You're going to be judged by God. That's kind of a symbolic way of saying it. Terry, we're done.
Good, because I want to play a clip. I mentioned to Jesse, I was so moved yesterday by my Protestant brother who was evangelizing in the courtroom. What? If you haven't seen this or heard this, you need to do that. Mr. Engineer, oh, first of all, let me set this up. This is a police officer who mistakenly shot an individual who she thought was in her apartment. She was distracted, obviously.
She worked a 13-and-a-half-hour day.
Yeah, she had a 13-and-a-half-hour day.
And she's texting back and forth with a coworker about sexual texts.
Yeah, we call
back and forth.
You know, immoral living. And she gets put into prison, right? She's going to have to get for manslaughter. So here's what happens. They're at the court, and the brother of the gentleman who she shot has something to say. And I'll tell you, this is what I call evangelization at its best.
This is power preaching with devil to strength.
Mr. Engineer, play that clip.
If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you.
Wow. What's the best?
Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ.
Wow.
Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please?
I love it.
Please.
Asking the judge.
Yes.
He's in tears. Like all the rest of us.
The judge rendered Chambers to get a Bible.
Yep. What you're seeing, and you can't see it, he's giving the woman a big hug.
The victim's brother is hugging former office Dallas officer who shot her brother and killed him.
Very emotional.
The judge ran into the chambers to grab a Bible and came and said, I'm giving my Bible to Officer Amber, who's going to prison for 10 years.
Wow. Not a dry eye in the courtroom.
That was an act of
Picture
love.
That.
The definition of love is to will the best for another person. That's St. Thomas Aquinas in the Catechism. Right. This black Protestant just did an act of love. He willed the best for Officer Amber, who'd shot his brother a few months ago. Mm-hmm. She walked into the wrong apartment. They lived in the same apartment complex. Her brother lived above her. Mm-hmm. She lived below. She worked a 13-and-a-half-hour shift, and she's texting back and forth sexual innuendos with one of her coworkers. They're apparently going to go meet later on. And that's probably the only thing that was in her mind was
acting.
Mortal sin.
Yeah.
Okay? She wasn't thinking. So she walks into the wrong apartment. She sees a black guy. Now she's thinking, this is my apartment. There's the big black guy in my apartment. She pulls out her gun, and the guy gets up like, it's his apartment. He's saying, what's a white female walking into my apartment with a gun? So he startled himself.
Yep.
So she fires, shoots him in the chest, and he dies. And then the tragedy is she realizes she's in the wrong apartment. It's just a bad situation here. And the victim or the brother just basically wished for her to get to know Jesus Christ and to live in friendship with him for her life in prison.
And Jesse, this example of my Protestant brother, who doesn't even have the fullness of the faith, is showing us as Catholics, and I'm talking about the hierarchy of our church too, okay? Not just you and me, but the entire Catholic Church can go to school under this to show what's really important. As I said, I wanted this show to be called, If Souls Are Saved, Everything Is Saved. If Souls Aren't Saved, Nothing Is Saved. This young black man, 18 years old, is evangelizing the world more than we, as with the fullness of the faith, our bishops. I'm sorry, Jess, I'm going to say it. The entire Catholic Church needs to go to school on this guy and go, wow, can we introduce people to Jesus? Can we give for forgiveness? I just was blown away when I saw this. I was in tears when I first saw this. I was like, this guy is really, he gets it, Jesse. And I just wish we as a church can see that example, that's the most important thing we should be preaching. Recycling, I understand, but we have to introduce people to the person of Jesus Christ. And he showed us how to do that right in court.
And that the judge was also moved.
Oh, she was crying.
Got up, went to her chambers.
Yeah.
Came back and got a Bible and gave it to the officer that he was going to sentence. I think he gave her 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, it was 10. Mm-hmm.
And he gave her a Bible and says, don't worry, take this. I got 3 more at home.
I love it.
So even the judge was moved. The judge, her colors came out that she was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as well.
Wow.
And this is what, again, this is the point that I made.
What is it, Jess?
We as Catholics, with the fullness of faith, oftentimes do less than Protestants who have an incomplete understanding of the gospel and soteriology and every sacramentology, all that stuff. But sometimes in their simple understanding that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, that takes Protestants a long way, and they're able to effectively evangelize. And again, most Catholics that have the fullness of truth, what would they have done in this same situation? They probably would have kept their mouth shut.
Yep.
And again, so evangelization isn't just head knowledge.
Nope.
A lot of Catholics have a lot of head knowledge. It's heart knowledge as well. As Pope Pius IX said, knowing Jesus is a matter of the head and the heart, both.
Well said. We got some good news here. 250,000 Americans, I'm one of them, signed a petition to put over to overturn Roe versus Wade on abortion. And they put it in an unrolled giant scroll containing, like I say, 250,000 signatures outside the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday of this week, demanding that it reverses the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. So it's just that more people are standing up for Jesus. As a matter of fact, standing up for Jesus, when we come back, Jesse, we're going to talk about Archbishop Vigano's third letter with Monsignor Charles Pope. He's calling Monsignor Charles Pope is calling Archbishop Vigano the John the Baptist of the Catholic Church today, a prophet of today. What does a prophet do? When we come back, you'll find out. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We are blessed, too blessed to be stressed. We'll be right back with much more to inspire you. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great." And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So what is a prophet?
Yeah.
Well, look at the Old and the New Testament. A prophet is a person that announces good news and denounces evil. So notice a prophet has an offensive and a defensive side.
Yep.
It's like a sword with two blades. I'll say it again. A prophet announces good news. That's God's word. That's the good news. And denounces evil. We have a prophet in our midst and he's hiding, just like many of the prophets had to hide from the wicked establishment at the time. The prophet that we have is called Archbishop Vigano. And there's a letter that he wrote, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
Yeah.
It's a third letter that Monsignor Charles Pope comments on. Oh, I'm just going to read one paragraph. I'll just give it to Terry.
Yeah.
He says, Monsignor Pope writes about Carlo Maria Vigano's letter, the Archbishop. He says, as I finished reading Vigano's third letter, I had a sense that I had just read something that's destined to be one of the greatest pastoral and literary moments of church history.
What? Yep.
There was an air of greatness about the letter that I cannot fully describe. I was stunned.
Yep.
At its soteriological quality. That means when it talked about salvation. The way it's a salvific letter talked about salvation. He says, at its stirring and yet stark reminder of our own judgment day. In other words, that Vigano's talking about the day he's going to die in all of us.
Amen, brother.
In effect, in Vigano's letter, he reminded us that this is more than a quibble over terminology or who wins on this or that point or who is respectful enough of whom. This is about the salvation of souls, including our own.
Yes.
And Archbishop Vigano, Monsignor Pope says,
line.
We almost never hear bishops or priests speak like this.
Thank you for telling
Terry,
me.
In other words, what Vigano did in his letter.
Oh, he's calling everybody out.
He's really, like the very last code of the Code of Canon Law, 1760-something, I forget, I have to go look at my code. The very last code of the Code of Canon Law, the 1983 code, says that the reason that the Catholic Church exists is for the salvation of souls. Archbishop Vigano knows that canon very well.
Yeah, Jesse, I this is a long letter, so I'm going to kind of just continue it with another paragraph or two and then turn it back. As most of you know, I fully affirm elsewhere that I find the allegations credible. What are those allegations? That the folks from the top to bottom knew about McCarrick and all the corruption of homosexuality in the church. He said,
corruption.
Yes, and they should be fully investigated. But in this post, I want to explore further the priestly qualities manifested in this third letter, qualities that are too often missing in action today. This is Monsignor Charles Pope, if you just tuned in, giving a commentary on Archbishop Vigano's third letter. To begin with, he has in mind the moral condition of souls. The Archbishop warns in several places of the danger posed to souls of the faithful by silence. Wow. And confusing actions of many bishops, priests, and the Pope. I mean, can I just give you one example of confusion? The Holy Father just put this Bishop Gretsch he's picked for the key Senate position yesterday. They put him, he was the author of the multi-guidelines in Italy, endorsing reception of Holy Communion for divorced and civilly remarried Catholics. And he's also been accused of strong-arm actions against the critics. This is another person that's stacking the deck against the moral teachings of the church. So he laments this, along with homosexual subculture in the church. Jesse, he's calling it out, finally. Just think if he didn't do this and continues to cause enormous damage to the church. So many innocent souls, too young, priestly vocations, and the faithful in general. That's why he's calling us up for the salvation of souls. Jesse, one more line.
Mention one thing real quick.
Hit it, brother. Hit it.
Is this homosexual subculture that Monsignor Pope talks about.
Calling him out.
And that Archbishop Vigano talks about.
Yeah.
This, Terry, this is something that the church has turned a blind eye towards. Because Father Enrique Rueda in 1982.
Correct.
He was from the Diocese of Rochester, New York.
That's right.
He wrote a book called The Homosexual Network, Private Lives and Public Policies. He had over 500 footnotes. And you know what? They said, get out of here. We don't want to hear from you.
That's right.
And they just said, he's a right winger. Yep. Just don't listen to him.
Yep.
A few years after that, another book came out, Michael Rose.
That's right.
Goodbye, Good Men.
Yep.
How Liberals Brought Corruption into the Catholic Church. The modernists also poo-pooed that book and just try to demonize Michael Rose. You don't hear much about him.
Nope.
Then you had another book come out called The Rite of Sodomy, Homosexuality and the Roman Catholic Church in 2006. by Randy Engel. These are all good Catholics.
I know them.
Warning us.
Yep.
And you know what? The modernists, because they have the levers of power, they just said, these guys are crazy right-wingers. Don't listen to them.
Jesse, well said. I know every single one of the people you just met personally, and they were all on fire. You know what they had one thing in common? They loved Jesus Christ and the salvation of souls, and that's why they did it. They didn't do it for any profit. And let me tell you, they were persecuted, every single one of those people you mentioned. Now,
and guess what? Everything they said was true. Now
absolutely.
We're finding out. All three of those authors were absolutely true.
And Jesse, when I knew this was going on in the 80s, I was a young man, and I was saying to myself, Father, I remember saying, Father Enrique, can this be true? Really? This is happening? But why isn't anybody doing anything? He says, Terry, because everybody's looking the other way. So I go back that many years. What's that? Almost 30 years ago. Now, Monsignor Charles Pope says this, and I remember priests like this because when I was a young man, this is how priests were with me. A long time ago in a galaxy far away, this was the first concern for most every priest, the moral condition of souls, including his own. I remember priest Mother Chris Tug, who would, 3 o'clock in the morning, my engineer remembers, 3 o'clock in the morning, someone would call, my uncle's dying, can you come and anoint him, he's dying. Father Tug would drive up to Santa Barbara, 2 hours away, to go anoint that guy, come back, and he'd be at the 6:30 mass going, all for Jesus. That's the kind of priest I grew up with, Jess. Okay, so today, many priests and bishops, as well as many parents and other leaders in the church, seem far more concerned with feelings and emotional happiness of those under their care than with the actual moral condition. They worry more about political correctness. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. And not upsetting those who engage in identity politics and base their whole identity on an aberrant and sinful habits and a disordered inclinations. Are you kidding me? That's what we try to expose. And you know what, Jess? That's the reason you and I got taken off Catholic radio on a national show, because we're doing what Vigano's doing. Why do you think we love him? Because he's inspiring us to speak the truth in charity. That's what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is all about.
That's right. Let me make a comment on some of the things that you said.
Wow.
First of all, you said a mouthful. First of all, a lot of people agree with Archbishop Vigano.
Yes.
I mean, you can go on the internet. I'll name you some bishops that say,
oh, yeah,
what Vigano's saying is the truth.
Of course.
Okay? Bishop Paprocri, Bishop Thomas Olmsted,
Phoenix,
the David Condurla, Bishop of Tulsa.
Yep.
Joseph Strickland, Bishop of Tyler, Cardinal Raymond Leo Burke, Salvador Corleone, Robert Morlino, rest in peace.
Madison, West.
Archbishop Paul Stagg Coakley,
yep.
Bishop Athanasius Snyder.
Oh.
On the internet, there's a lot of bishops that say what this man is saying is true and needs to be investigated. Secondly, one of the things that this letter brings up that you just read, Terry.
Yeah, Jesse, go ahead.
Is that there is a sin known as aiding and abetting or concealing. It's in the catechism.
Yep.
Paragraph 1868, it says here, if you do not disclose, you have an obligation to disclose sin that you know about.
That's right.
And if you don't disclose it, if you approve of it, you're protecting the evildoers in 1868 of the Catechism. That sin is now your sin because you didn't disclose it. You didn't stop it. You have an obligation to do so. And by not doing so, the catechism says you're protecting evildoers. Furthermore,
sins of omission, Jesse.
Yeah, keeping your mouth shut in the face of this horrible sin of financial corruption and sexual predation. Listen to the Confiteor at Mass.
Yes.
I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and what I have failed to
do. Sins of
omission. Guess what, all you bishops and cardinals that have failed to disclose the financial and sexual corruption and the sin, you bunch of hypocrites, as you pray the Confiteor every day at Mass, you say something like the Pharisees, but you don't mean it. And this is what Monsignor Pope is sick of on Vigano, saying all these bishops that know about it, and could be even possibly the Pope. I can't read hearts. You're saying the Confiteor every day and you don't mean it. This is the height of hypocrisy. This is why Jesus called the Pharisees, you whitewashed tombs. you sepulcher, you're full of dead men's bones. Terry, this is an exact parallel of what Jesus Christ indicted the Pharisees for.
Jesse, talk is cheap. The supply exceeds the demand. And what you just said, brother, I give a big amen to. And that needs to be promoted because we need to call all of us to fidelity. Let's continue. For those who just tuned in, you're going, what's Jesse, man? What did you do? Give him something at breakfast to go off on? No. You know what Jesse's upset about? He's upset that the folks that we have in our church and the world are not getting the full gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? They're getting a partial gospel that says, you know, have a good time and we'll look the other way about mortal sin. No! We got to repent and turn away from sin. And that's not being taught. And so I'm sorry, you know, we're not in management, we're in sales. But what Jesse just said about our bishops, listen to us. We love you. Or we wouldn't see. What Jesse just said was an act of love. You know why?
Amen.
Because yep. He loves you. He wants to see you get to heaven just like us. But that, you ain't getting to
that's
heaven.
That's my motivation.
Of course.
That my motive is charity.
That's right.
I want to see their souls saved.
Amen, brother.
They're the successors of the apostles.
That's right.
And of course, I don't want to see them in hell.
No.
Every saint that I've read that said that a clergy in hell suffers the worst torments and fires of hell. The worst places of hell are safe for apostate clergy. I don't want any of them to go to hell. And this is a time to call them to repentance. Pound your chest and mean what you say. You know, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, and do the right thing.
Wow. Jesse, you know what, brother? I'm moved by this, and I'll tell you why. You and I both have been thrown out of churches for speaking the truth about the gospel of fullness. I remember in 1979 with Father Ron Tangen preaching the Fatima message, and the Jesuit priest unplugged the PA system and said, pack your bags, get out of here. We don't believe in hell anymore. Yes, that actually happened to me, Jesse. And that priest said, hey, shut that off. And I said, I'm like 20 years old. I'm like, well, what can I say? No, we don't preach that anymore. That's old-fashioned Catholicism. I thought, wow. So I packed all the books up, got in the van, and we got out. And I said, Father, aren't you upset? He says, no, the saints have all been treated that way. Aren't we? We're called to be a saint. This is just par for the course. So 40-some years ago, I learned that. And that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful, I'm not afraid to tell the truth in charity. Because you know what? People need to hear the truth because that's what sets them free. When we come back, Jesse and I are going to read more from Monsignor Charles Pope commentary on Archbishop Vigano's third letter. This should motivate you to come and pray tonight with us for 2 hours from 7 to 9. We pray for our priests every Thursday night because that's the institution of the Holy Eucharist. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
We have an exciting story for you to listen to, the story of John Pridmore. John Pridmore was a hitman for the gangs in East London.
I met some guys who seemed to have everything that I thought would make you happy. So I started working for these people. So to my shame, I was involved in vicious crime of all sorts.
He collected debts for the gangs. And if people didn't pay their debts, it was his job to kill them.
And as I drove home that night, I thought, what have I become that I could kill someone and not even care?
He was in the elevator on his way up to the 17th floor, and there was a 17-year-old young man in the elevator with him. Suddenly, this young man looked John right in the eye, and he said, Jesus loves you.
And I said the first prayer I'd ever said. I said, up to now, all I've done is take from you, God. Now I want to give.
Within a year, by the grace of God, John was able to get out of the gang and be freed from this road to hell that he had been walking on. Go to Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel and listen to this story today.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Clarity with Charity. This program's rated PG, praise God. We're looking at Archbishop Vigano's third letter, and a reflection on the third letter by Monsignor Charles Pope. These are two clergy that have nothing but my respect, Terry.
Big time. Yeah.
Here's what he says in the next paragraph.
Okay.
Yes, too often the only thing that really matters, the salvation of souls,
amen,
is hardly considered. As others have rightly pointed out, this points to a loss of faith and a bland universalism wherein all, or the vast majority, attain to heaven. Further, the possibility of hell is all but dismissed, almost never preached, let alone considered a factor in how we should pastorally guide people. In all of this, Archbishop Vigano still has that old-time religion.
I love it.
When I go to parishes, that's the term that I use. When I get in the pulpit, I do an opening prayer. I said, you guys are going to get old-time religion, and everybody starts busting up. That's the phrase. So it's funny that Monsignor Pope is using something that I'm using on the pulpits across America, and people start clapping. I said, you're going to get old-time religion.
Amen.
And then I go right in. I launch into the last four things and living in a state of grace. The article says that Vigano takes seriously Jesus' admonitions regarding judgment.
Wow.
His many warnings about hell and the absolute need to decide whom we will serve, God or the world, the gospel or popular culture, the flesh or the spirit. Vigano's final two paragraphs could not be clearer.
Well, read it, Terry. Jesse. No, you read. Jesse, I'm so fired up. I did some more push-ups at the break time because I'm a little flying.
Here's Vigano's two paragraphs. Yeah. He says, quote, you can choose to withdraw from the battle to prop up the conspiracy of silence and avert your eyes from the spreading of corruption.
Yeah, you could.
You can make excuses, compromises, and justification that put off the day of reckoning. Remember, he's writing all this to the Pope, Terry.
I know, that's Jesse. This takes, this. You know what?
Yeah. Cut. Brass. Yeah.
You got it, buddy.
You can console yourselves with the falsehood and the delusion that it will be easier to tell the truth tomorrow.
Yep.
And then the following day, and so on.
Mañana.
On the other hand, you can choose to speak.
Amen.
You can trust him who told us the truth will set you free.
Amen.
I do not say it will be easy to decide between silence and speaking. I urge you, again, the context, he's speaking to the Pope, is the letter. I urge you to consider which choice on your deathbed and then before the just judge you will not regret having made.
Wow.
Close quote. Terry, this reminds me what ends up happening when a person keeps on lying to themselves that there's no problem, that there's no pink elephant in the closet.
Yeah.
God punishes you.
Of course.
Here's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Mm-hmm. When you're one of those Catholics says, there's no pink elephant in the closet, and you keep denying it. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. It says, the coming of the lawless one, by the way, that's the Antichrist, in case you're wondering.
Mm-hmm.
The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, by the activity of Satan, will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders. And with all wicked deception. Notice what people that lie. It's called wicked deception for those who are to perish. In other words, somebody who is involved in wicked deception, and wear the shoes if it fits you, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible, all wicked deception for those who are to perish. What's the context? You're going to perish in hell. Why? Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And verse 11, it nails it. This is what happens when you live a lie and you're always covering up and not telling the truth and you're covering up the darkness. The Bible says, therefore God sends upon them, these are people that conceal lies, a strong delusion to make them believe what is false so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, had pleasure in lies, had pleasure in concealing the truth. In other words, there comes a point in time where you lie to yourself so much, God says, all right, guess what? I'm going to allow you, I'm going to send a strong delusion. I'm going to withdraw my protection and blessings. I'm going to allow you to believe your lies.
Well
said. And you're going to be condemned.
Well,
this is powerful.
Yeah, it is.
And this is what Vigano's writing to all the people that are hiding all the financial and sexual corruption from the top down.
And Jesse, I'm going to make a statement. 100 years from now, someone's going to say, wow, he was right. 100 years from now, he's going to be called Saint Vigano. And I'll tell you why. Because of what he's doing. God is calling saints right now. And he could have just retired very gracefully. But no, he's speaking the truth in charity. Here's what Monsignor Charles Pope said about that last paragraph that Jess just read. He said, this is powerful. He says, I could be reading St. John Chrysostom, Pope St. Gregory the Great, or St. Alphonsus Liguori, a doctor of the church. What? He says, honestly, I cannot recall many times that I've heard a modern bishop or even a priest speak like this. There are exceptions, of course. And guess who's he given the exception? Yeah, of course, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. But clarity is rare. He says, I hope, too, that some of the deacons, the priests, the bishops who might read this, are they are saying, I, too, am an exception. I often preach like this. See, I hope what we're doing right now is inspiring you to speak the truth in charity and not be silent anymore. Because silence is why we're in this mess. He says, my general experience tells me that many who write to me, this is Monsignor Charles, that their priests and bishops never mention mortal sin, hell, or judgment. I'm sorry to say, Jesse, that's been my experience too, crossing the country. And if they do preach on sin, they use abstractions and generalities and euphemisms and other safe terms. Are you ready for the terms? See if you've heard this, such as injustice or woundedness. Jesse, in this letter, Archbishop Vigano writes as if he never got the memo to obfuscate and speak in cloaked and guarded ways, to speak in such hazy terms that no one really knows, has any idea what you're saying. No, you know exactly what this man is saying. Instead, the Archbishop comes right out and says it, Jess.
I'll tell you my analysis of what he just said right there.
I want to hear it.
Number one is that many of the modern clergy after Vatican II, and Pope Francis is the post-Vatican II Pope.
Okay? Sure he is.
Yeah, he's a post-Vatican II Pope. They've been trained, Terry, in Jesuit von Balthasar soteriology.
That's a fact.
Okay?
Yep.
And so that's why you'll hear words like injustice, woundedness. Mm-hmm. Who am I to judge? Stuff like that.
There you go.
This is Balthasarian soteriology.
You nailed it.
And what Vigano, he has the church father and the scholastic soteriology.
Old time religion.
Soteriology means the study of salvation. Archbishop Vigano speaks like the early church fathers. He speaks like the scholastics.
Yep.
About salvation.
Yes.
If there's death, judgment, heaven, and hell, and people really go there. Oh, yeah. And so this is, here's where there's a big clash, is because Vigano, who has that old-time religion, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, that comports with 1,965 years of Catholic teaching, he's taking on an institution that now has embraced a postmodern view of salvation, basically taken from Karl Rahner, a Jesuit, von Balthasar, a Jesuit, and this is and they use worms. Terms that obfuscate, like it says, they're guarded terms, they're cloaked in Catholic speak, but they're hazy, they're ambiguous, they're experts at this.
Yeah, they are.
And Archbishop Vigano comes right on and says that he says this very grave crisis cannot be properly addressed and resolved unless and until we call things by their true name.
Amen.
This is a crisis due to the scourge of homosexuality.
You think?
In its agents, in its motives, in its resistance to reform. It's no exaggeration to say that homosexuality has become a plague in the clergy, and that it can only be eradicated with spiritual weapons.
Amen.
It is an enormous hypocrisy to condemn the abused, claim to weep for the victims, and yet refuse to denounce the root cause of so much sexual abuse. Homosexuality, it is the hypocrisy to refuse to acknowledge that this scourge is due to a serious crisis in the spiritual life of the clergy and to fail to take the steps necessary to remedy it. The evidence for homosexual collusion, with its deep roots that are so difficult to eradicate, is overwhelming. To claim the crisis itself to be clericalism is pure sophistry. That means wordplay. You're just playing around with words.
Lies.
And I'll tell you, who wrote about this clearly? Pope Benedict assigned Father Darius Oko, a young PhD from Poland, and a team of investigator priests to investigate the root causes in the Vatican, in the Roman Curia, and in the Vatican itself. Father Darius and his team came out with a document called The Pope Against Homo Heresy. It's a 300-page dossier. He gave it to Pope Benedict. He goes, this Trojan horse has infiltrated inside the walls of the Catholic Church. And he gave him a lot of details, which caused Pope Benedict a lot of anguish. He didn't realize the extent of this problem, exactly. How deep it had literally penetrated the Catholic Church. And Pope Benedict gave this dossier to Pope Francis. Well, guess what, Terry? After 6 years, we've heard nothing about the contents of this dossier. Little things have been leaked here and there. Like Father Darius Oko says that 30 to 40% of the clergy in the Roman Curia in the Vatican government are homosexuals that have websites, that have Instagram, that have Facebook, where they tell each other where they're going to meet for drugs and sex.
Unbelievable.
This is in the dossier, and we've been waiting for 6 years for the full contents to be released by Pope Francis, and I hate to say, Terry, it hasn't been released yet.
Well, Jesse, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about Archbishop Vigano, but I personally have seen stories, I've talked to seminarians that what you just said have been going on in seminaries for years. As a matter of fact, I have a quick story when we come back that a priest friend of mine in the Vatican tells about how rampant homosexuality is there. I mean, do I want to tell you all this? No! It's just because I want the cancer in the church we want to get rid of this cancer.
And we want to turn into prayer warriors.
We do. We want you, again, prayer. This is what we need to do. When we come back, we'll continue with commentary on Archbishop Vigano's third letter by Monsignor Charles Pope, one of the holy priests in America. He's calling it for what it is. I hope this has inspired you to get down on your knees and act like a real man and pray your rosary, read your Bible, all the good things we need to do to fight the good fight. That's what we're here for, Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be right back with much more to inspire you.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Clarity with charity, speaking Amen. The truth in love, Team Jesus. Terry, let me just read one little paragraph from the homosexual heresy by Father Thaddeus.
Oh yeah,
Thaddeus Oko.
It ties right in.
It's a 300-page dossier that's right now. Pope Benedict received it, and then it was given to Pope Francis. He says this: the most open revolt against the Pope and the Church is headed by some Jesuits in the United States who openly oppose them, and announce that despite the above decisions, they will keep admitting homosexually oriented seminarians who are indeed especially welcome. Father Oko writes, consequently, it's estimated that they have achieved the highest saturation with homosexuals, way above 30%. Gays feel more comfortable than ever in the Catholic Church, while other priests find the specific atmosphere less and less bearable. One last quote, he says, Father Oko. There are also under the overwhelming influence of their former fellow friar, Father John McNeil, Jesuit, who founded the pro-homosexual movement called Dignity and published a book called The Church and the Homosexual, where he explicitly rejects the teachings of the church and adopts a homo ideology. The book was given an imprimatur by his provincial from New York, and has been republished several times despite being banned by the Vatican. This way, it has become a homosexual Bible for the American Jesuits. Yep, there it is. It's on the internet. It's called The Pope and the Homo Heresy. It's on the internet. It's 300 pages. I've read the whole thing. Terry?
I just want to make a distinction. Some people might be thinking, you guys are just anti-homo. You know, you guys are this or that. Let me ask you a question, everybody. If someone has the same-sex attraction, okay, and that happens. I've got friends who have that. Women, too. They're lesbian, but they say no to it. They say, no, I'm not going to act on that. Just like Terry and Jesse are married, we're called to chastity. We're not having relations with anyone other than our wives, okay? So a married man is chaste, a single man is chaste. Some single men, most of them, have an inclination for women. But that doesn't mean they should be acting on their sexual appetite. And we call that fornication. But the homosexuals who are in the church, I ask these questions every time to them, and they all say, no, we should be able to, God wants us to be happy, so we need to express our sexuality whenever we want to, to whom we want to do it. And that's where the problem comes, folks, is that these folks who say that homosexuality should be accepted, what they're saying is active homosexuality needs to be okay because it's just expressing something that's natural. And they see that's unnatural, and the Bible condemns it, the church condemns it. But what's happening right now is people are getting mixed up and saying, well, we feel so, we have to have compassion. Well, compassion is not compromising the truth. And Archbishop Vigano's letter is saying just that, that that's what's happening, is that these people have gotten into the church. I'll be honest with you, Jesse, the Jesuits have the highest percentage of homosexual in the priesthood because they've been doing it for a long time.
And that documentation is that homo heresy document.
Let's continue with the commentary from Monsignor.
Yeah,
Crow.
Terry, it says that he says here too, there have been very few bishops or priests willing to speak so clearly and to depart from euphemisms.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, but they are too few. And for a bonus round, the good archbishop even introduces an older term that has fallen out of use.
I love it.
He talks about a philander. So he's saying that that's a problem.
I know that's an old term.
Well.
It's a womanizer.
These are women who exploit women. This is a womanizer. So he goes on and talks about that's a problem in the church, but not as bad as the homosexual problem in the church. It's far bigger than the womanizing problem. Right. The article says, finally, Archbishop Vigano, in appalling sort of way, has taken up the necessary mantle of opposing Peter's behavior,
yep,
to his face and publicly. That's Pope Francis. While some wonder why this is not done privately, the answer must surely be, how could Vigano approach Pope Francis privately? Pope Francis has steadfastly refused to engage his questioners. He has taken up a policy of weaponized ambiguity.
That's a fact.
And when legitimate questions are asked, they are greeted with silence. And far from answering his flock, as he should do, he often answers to them as that you're monsters. He calls us accusers, rigid, scandal mongers, and worse when they press for clarity and seek for answers and accountability. How rare it is, Monsignor Pope says, that other bishops are willing to speak out so clearly of their concerns. Only four cardinals issued the dubia. Why is this? Where are the rest? And finally, it says, in the end, I'm deeply grateful for Archbishop Vigano's close of a dose of old-time religion. It's refreshing to hear an archbishop actually call sin by name to show concern for the moral condition of souls, not just the emotional state, to warn of judgment and summon us all to decide, not just hide or obfuscate and fret about getting along while souls are being lost. It is hopeful that an archbishop of high reputation is willing to call the Pope and the Vatican to account. This sort of leadership is too little in evidence today amongst the hierarchy and the priests. Terry, I'll let you wrap it up. But this reminds me of the prophet Elijah confronting wicked Jewish kings and wicked queens in his day. And Elijah, just like Vigano, he was on the run, Terry.
That's right.
Because the Jewish establishment wanted to kill him. And in fact, the Jewish establishment killed all the prophets, including the Son of God.
I'm going to give you my take through Monsignor William Smith about priests, bishops. Most priests and bishops want to be liked. Archbishop Vigano, here's his book, the Vigano versus the Vatican. I've just completed this book. I'd like you to get it from Crisis Publication, which is Sophia Press. But the reason we have so few priests speaking up is because most priests, most single men, want to be liked by people. Most priests want the parishioners to say, oh, hi, Father, how are you? Very few guys are willing to speak the truth in charity. Why? Because how many of us, Jesse, how many times have you been told to your face that you are a bigot? You are against all kinds of things. You're right wing fruitcake. How many times?
Come on. Yeah, they usually call me a right winger.
Yeah, right in church, they, right?
Rigid.
Yeah, rigid, old fashioned.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
A crazy traditional Catholic.
And to be honest with you, Jesse, unless you've got a really good relationship with Jesus Christ and you know who you are, that's sometimes hard to take. See, I'm not a masochist. I don't like being told and being thrown out of churches, okay? I've been physically picked up and thrown out. I'm a little guy, so it's easy. But the point of it is I don't mind that because I know that without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. So if I have to preach the gospel to people who don't want to hear it and they want to get mad and they want to cuss me out, yell at me, scream at me, I used to be a professional umpire. I'm used to having people holler. But you know what? I just offer that to Jesus. So the next time you, our listener, is told you're a right winger, you're this, you're too conservative, just say all for Jesus. And Jesse, every show I want to talk about the fight.
We just got what I want you to comment. Let me just finish this and finish the article.
Brother. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Monsignor Pope writes, some will surely bristle at the Archbishop Vigano's strong language.
Yes.
But I ask you, is it really so different from the way the Lord Jesus Christ spoke?
Yeah.
Perhaps the bristling is more emblematic of our dainty and thin-skinned times, marked by identity politics, cries of victimization, and every form of shock and outrage over the slightest reproach. In other words, Monsignor Pope is saying that we live in a PC,
big time,
safe space, judge me culture. It's this millennial sissified culture. And then he says, in my estimation, this letter of Archbishop Vigano will go down in history as one of the great moments of pastoral exhortation and integrity. Hear, hear.
Yeah, hey.
He says, it will shine forth as a clarion call in an age of timid silence from too many other prelates and priests. May the Archbishop's courage inspire many more to come forth and respectfully but clearly insist on answers and honesty. May his warning on our judgment day be salutary. May repentance, renewal, and courage be growing realities in God's church. Wow, this sounds to me like the speech that Joshua gave to the Israelites in Joshua 24 when he challenged them as to which God they will serve.
Folks, if you want to get a copy, go to the National Catholic Register. I have a copy of a book called Vigano versus the Vatican, the uncensored testimony of the Italian journalist who helped break the story on Vigano. And if you go to Crisis Publications, you can get that. It's Sophia Press. But the reason I brought this letter up, and Jess and I did, is not to just expose problems, but to inspire you to say, when you hear a prophet speaking, I think he's going to be Saint Vigano. I really do. And 100 years from now, they're going to go back and say, this guy turned the ship. He exposed the errors of our time. Every 500 years, the church goes through a purification. We're going through it right now. And Vigano's going to be the key player that brought this ship back around with your help. And Jess, I want to talk about what we always say at the end about the five stones of David. What are those five stones that we can encourage our people to do every day?
Put this in your war bag and make sure you're using this as a Catholic every day. Number one, pray the rosary every day. And don't pray it like you're selling tacos, okay? Pray from your heart. Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. On Sundays, for sure, and holy days of obligation, never miss. But go to Mass during the week as often as possible. And if you can't make Mass, go stop by and visit. Right after the show, I'm going to go say hi to Jesus. I'm going to go stop by right now and tell him I love him. Number three, read the Bible every day. Okay, you can get the Bible readings on your iPhone if you don't know what the Mass readings are. Number four, let's go back to old school religion. Fridays, penance, 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 as Fatima said. Start fasting and abstaining from meat on Fridays. I know it's not Lent, but let's just do this throughout the year. Things are bad right now, and we need prayer power. We need holiness. And number five, monthly confession.
That's right.
I can tell you three saints that say that lay people should go to monthly confession. St. John Paul II, St. Padre Pio, Venerable Fulton Sheen. Okay? That's God's Navy SEALs right there. I'm listening.
You nailed it, Jess. And we've been in this 9-day novena praying every night at our chapel before the Blessed Sacrament for the Senate Amazon Senate in Rome. 1 hour a night, we pray from 7 to 9. Tonight, it's Holy Thursday. We commemorate the Holy Thursday of the priesthood and the Eucharist. So we're going to be there from 7 to 9. We are making reparation because what did Our Lady said? Souls are going to hell because no one's there willing to pray and make sacrifices. You're in the Lord's gym. You don't expect we're not going to give you some homework. Get to work, man. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
Hey, I'm going to be in the state of Massachusetts on Saturday at the Hope Conference, Lowell, Massachusetts. Tell your family to go out there and see the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Get there.
Hope Conference, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to be at Santa Maria. I love that name. Santa Maria, California, Spanish and English Parish Mission. That's October 8th and 9th.
Yep.
And so anywhere I go, I can tell you I'm going to live in a state of grace and not in a state of mortal sin, Terry.
Amen. And I want to thank one of our listeners last night who called me to become a monthly donor. If you'd like to become a monthly donor to support Virgin Most Powerful, call me on my cell phone. I take your call anytime. 661-972-7872. May God richly bless you. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, it's full sheen ahead here. Why? Because we've got the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. We'll be back tomorrow with a special edition on Terry and Jesse.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.